the gospel will overcome. In a world full of sorrow, by evil overrun, where darkness is veiled, the light of the sun. We know that the gospel overcomes.
You're listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. This is your place for intelligent conversation on the relevant issues of our day, each Friday and Saturday at 11:30 and each Sunday at noon. And now, here's the host of The Dean's List, Dr. Paul Dean.
All right, Mary Dean, we had another debate the other night.
But yes, we did.
Yes, we did. We really shouldn't air our personal problems on the air, though, so let's talk about something else.
I was thinking about the food debate, whether I ate a roast beef sub or an Italian sub.
Yes, yes, that was a debate.
Yes.
I was kidding about our personal debate. We're talking about the Republican debate, the fourth GOP debate, and yeah, I was going to say, you put out a spread.
I did.
Not that folk care about this, but I just got to say, I mean, the debate is fun enough. It's like a sporting event for me.
So I made it a tailgating event.
So, yeah, I come home. I had to, you know, obviously I go to work and stuff like that. We all work. We all do our jobs. But I come home, and it's like this big platter of roast beef subs on one side, Italian subs on the other, the little, well, what do you got? What do we call it?
Canapé.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, got some savory crackers with cream cheese and whatever that sauce on top and a bunch of other stuff. I don't want to, you know, spend too much time talking about it, but it was a debate, so I just did both, roast beef and Italian.
All right.
And everything else. I liked your before and after picture there.
Yes.
You put on Instagram this big old platter of food, and then, was it, our daughter stays out late, she's studying up at school, wants to know if we got anything to eat, and you send her a picture, there's like one lone little sliver left on that tray. Yeah, come on. Anyway, it's enough about the party platter. Let's talk about this debate.
All right.
Love talking about it in one sense. In another sense, I don't. But in one sense, I do. Like I say, it's like a sporting event. You know, I don't think my guy's going to win. But, you know, during March Madness, when my team gets knocked out, I still keep watching.
That's true.
Right? And sometimes my team does win. But
sometimes. Anyhow.
What else did I want to say about that? Oh, I don't know. It's fun. It's interesting. It's what's going on in our world. It's what's going on in our country, at least. And it's important.
Yeah, I think, isn't it the first time we've had so many?
Maybe. Yeah, Last time around, we had quite a few. But I don't know. It just seemed like we did have more in the field this time. So the undercard, you know, two folk were bumped from that. Lindsey Graham. He's a senator from South Carolina, you know, our state. No offense, I'm glad he was bumped. He's just a warmonger, okay? Got no popularity for whatever the reason. I wish that were the case. I don't think it is, but anyway. The other one that was bumped was George Pataki. Glad he was bumped. And I'm not being ugly. I'm just, you know, offering an opinion. I don't even think Pataki believes in religious freedom. I don't know. I can't remember. Something he said at one of these debates we covered. This is the fourth one we've analyzed, and I can't remember everything everyone said. But anyway, I just know I didn't like him.
All right.
He's gone. Don't like him. But two others were put on the undercard. You know, they were bumped down from the main event. Chris Christie and Mr. Let me debate Hillary Clinton tonight, even though she wasn't there. And I mean, I know they're all going to say stuff about Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. I get that. But Bobby Jindal is calling him out. That was the other one that was there, by the way, the governor of Louisiana. And here's Christie from New Jersey. And Jindal's calling him out. Now, a lot of folk don't like Jindal's personality. I get that. But you got to admit, he's a lot more conservative than Chris Christie.
That is true.
And he said some good things. Just if you're just sort of analyzing what he said. And he's calling Christie out for not being a conservative. I can't even remember what he said. I didn't write it down because we're not going to talk about the undercard too much. We're going to talk about the main event. But, you know, Christie turned it. He's like, well, if you think I was bad, what do you see Hillary Clinton if she wins? I mean, okay. I don't know that I'd answer a question that, well, if you think I'm bad, Hillary's worse. So, yeah, I guess you're right. I'm terrible, but not as bad as Hillary. So let me tell you how bad Hillary is. I mean, that was all night long. Anyway, a lot of folk thought Christie did very well, and that's because they're not listening to what's being said. They just like us to talk bad about Hillary. Well, I'm all for talking bad about Hillary in a Christian
yes.
way. Oh, me. Hey, you know, by the way, you know, I'm not trying to be ugly. We are having fun with this. And eyeball to eyeball, we're respectful.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Paul, the Apostle Paul, he said some things. You know, he said to the Judaizers. What did I say, Judaizers?
Judaizers, yeah.
Hey, same thing. Let's talk about them Judaizers. They're terrible. But he said to the Judaizers, you know, I wish they'd just go ahead and mutilate themselves.
Whoa.
Yeah, I think he said it worse than that. I don't even, you know the Greek that well. Just go ahead and cut themselves off. I mean, that's pretty strong.
That's pretty harsh.
He said, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him for his
Whoa.
Deeds. That's pretty strong.
That's a little strong.
Yeah. So, no, I want to be kind. I want to be gentle. I want to be Christ-like. But, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ is not this, you know, whimpering, simpering. I don't even know what that word means. But he's not just this, you know.
He's not wringing his hands.
Yeah, he's
sure.
not wringing his hands, you know. He says some stuff. He called religious leaders vipers. He called them children of the devil. He called them whitewashed tombs. I mean, he called them names. So I think, you know, as long as I'm not trying to be ugly.
You're trying to say your name calling is biblical here.
Maybe. I don't know. I have to be careful. You
yes,
have to examine your
right.
heart. But I'm just trying to, you know, be biblical on the one hand, but just say it plainly. I find that in recent years, you know, I used to be pretty bold. I was telling somebody this yesterday. I was pretty bold in my younger years, you know, bold evangelism, bold this, bold that. And, you know, I'm still bold in a certain sense. But in recent years, I've been so afraid to offend people with my personality or my words. I know it didn't sound like that today. I'm talking about in the past, mm-hmm. you know, past recent years. And so, but I came to the point where I felt like, you know, I don't even know if I'm saying anything. I don't know if I'm, you know, I mean, I preach, but, you know, one-on-one, I don't know if I'm impacting anybody at all, if anybody knows what I'm talking about. And so I've just decided, you know, since we started doing this new, you know, manifestation of the radio broadcast, I'm going to come out of the box. Gloves are off.
All right.
Not to be ugly. You know, I'm not going to rant. I'm going to get angry. But to say, hey, these are serious issues we're dealing with, and I'm speaking in such a way that you know I'm serious. You know where I stand. And even here, I haven't said exactly where I stand, but I mean, Chris Christie, you know, I'm sure he's a nice guy. I'm sure I wouldn't mind, you know, having a hamburger with him or, you know, a cup of coffee. Diet Coke is really what I would do. And everybody said, oh, I could have a beer with him. Well, okay, let's have a Diet Coke. But anyway, and I'm not saying you can't have a beer either. I'm just saying.
I agree.
Yeah. You're like, what are you doing?
All right, to
but
the
I don't
debate.
Like him for
yes,
president. That's,
right.
that's what I'm saying.
So he's in the lower
you know,
tier.
If Chris Christie's the nominee, I probably won't even vote. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
And people, oh, well, you're deserving your responsibility. No. No, we're going to do another broadcast on why I might not even vote. I'm not saying I won't. Just saying I might not.
Okay.
You know, it all depends on a number of factors. And what would be the determining factor? Well, I'm going to look at it through a biblical lens. That's what we're doing.
All right.
And sometimes I don't say enough. Okay, now here's the scriptural reason I'm saying this. Because this isn't just, like you said, you know, at some point, we were having a conversation sometime, I don't remember when, but, hey, you know, it's not just, hey, me too. It's not just I want to add my voice to the political discussion. We're trying to add a particular kind of voice. Christian voice. So that's what we're going to try to do. Let's do what we did last time. Let's look at the Drudge poll.
Okay.
Spent a lot of time on that. You know what? Maybe we should do two broadcasts on this. And you're like, no, I do not want to do that. Maybe
you
we
know.
Should, though. Gary likes it. Gary,
no,
you like
no,
that
no.
idea?
I don't know.
Yes. But let's look at the Drudge poll.
Okay.
And we could look at the Wall Street Journal poll. We could look at others. But here's what I like about the Drudge poll.
Okay.
the folk that read Drudge, you know, most of them are pretty
conservatives,
Republicans, and probably the primary voter here. Mm-hmm. Not only that, you got 350,000 votes on this thing.
Okay.
So it's an even bigger sample than the last time.
All right.
I mean, that's a lot of people, 350,000 people. Now, the question is, who won the fourth Republican debate? All right, are you ready for this? All right, Trump. That's what most of the Drudge readers say, 35%. Now, if you remember, on the last debate, Trump was like 50%. So he's down a little bit. But 35% say he won. Guess who is in second place, according to the Drudge readership?
I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
Ted Cruz.
Okay.
Second place. Good. That is good. I like that. I mean, Cruz, he's not perfect in you know, as I look through that biblical lens. Neither is Trump.
Oh, my.
In fact, none of them are perfect. Even my guy, Rand Paul. And I'll tell you why I'm a Rand Paul guy. And I'll try to tell you biblically.
At least they gave him a little more time this time. It seemed. It appeared like to
they
me.
They did. And we're going to talk about Rand. Yeah. We're going to talk about him a little bit more than we did last time because we're able to because he did so much better than he did last time. Now, the question is this the real Rand or is this political Rand? You know what I mean? Is this going forward Rand or was this anomaly Rand?
He sounded
a lot more like his dad this time. Praise God.
Maybe so.
And I know a lot of my listeners are going, what? What? Wait a minute. Hey, if you'll bear with me, I'll bring some scripture into this. And I'm doing, right. Miriam, I'm saying, okay. That's what you want. I'll bring some scripture. That's what I want. I'll bring it in. Yes.
All right.
Anyway, guess who got third? Rand Paul.
Well, good.
Yes. Now, do I think he's going to win? No. Do I think he won the debate the other night? No, I don't. And I'm a Rand Paul guy. But here's the deal. Out of Drudge readers, last time he got 4%. 4% said he won the debate, or maybe it was even less. I can't remember. This time, 16%.
Ah.
All that says is he did a lot better.
Yes, he did.
Or at least that's what it says. So Trump, Cruz, Paul, guess what? Mr. Liberal, Mr. Neocon Rubio got fourth. Everybody, you know, all the media says Rubio won. Well, that's if you weren't listening. You just listen on the surface. Mr. Let's blow everybody up, Mr. Warmonger. How's that, Christian? Hey, Christian, are you a warmonger? That's what I want to know. Let's listen to a little bit of Springsteen. See what he says about it. We'll talk more about it after the break.
When you listen every weekday to the Eric Metaxas Show, you'll hear from the people making news. Plus, we'll talk to some of the more surprising voices in contemporary Christian life. And did I mention fun? Yeah, I'm Eric Metaxas, and I'm trying to pioneer a new kind of talk radio. So join me every weekday for the Eric Metaxas Show. You'll never think about radio quite the same way again.
Tonight at 10 on Christian Talk 92.9.
If you're over 50 and concerned about any of the following, stay tuned for an exclusive free bottle offer. Are you concerned about your heart health? Are you interested in healthy brain function? What about joint comfort? Well, if you answered yes to any of these questions, we want to send you a free bottle of Krill Omega 50 Plus. Krill Omega 50 Plus combines krill oil with ultra-pure fish oil in one tiny pill, and it promotes your joint health, your heart health, your arteries, brain function, and even your eye health. Best of all, you can get a free bottle of Krill Omega 50 Plus today. Just pay for shipping, and we'll send you a free bottle. Experience the miracle of Krill Omega 50 Plus. Call now for your free bottle. 1-800-340-5763. That's 1-800-340-5763. 1-800-340-5763. Again, call now. 1-800-340-5763.
The Journey Christian Newspaper. partnering with local Christian businesses, churches, and ministries to bring you a source for encouraging articles, local Christian events, and news from a Christian perspective. Available in print and online at www.journeychristiannews.com. The Journey Christian Newspaper, encouraging Christians on their walk with Christ.
Keep it here. You're locked into Christian Talk 660.
Marco Rubio was president when Bruce Springsteen got sent off to Vietnam to kill the yellow man.
Mm.
No. It's Johnson who escalated that mess. Johnson, 57,000 Americans dead, not to mention how many Vietnamese. Anyway, we're not going to go down that road. It'd take too long.
No,
but
that's, yes.
That's Rubio's answer, you know, everything. You know, we haven't even got to the debate yet. We're going to. But, you know, this whole thing, you know, we need to be strong militarily. Okay, I agree with that. Rand Paul agrees with that. We all want to defend our homeland. We'll defend our borders. But strong militarily doesn't necessarily mean belligerent. Doesn't necessarily mean having a base in what? How many bases do we have? 154 countries across the world? I'm not sure.
That's a close number if it's not right.
Yeah, it's a lot. Do you realize that there are like 194 countries in the world right now? We have had some kind of military action in connection with 191 of them.
Wow.
We've invaded 84 of them, gone to war with 84 of them. Anyway, I'm getting off track. That's just what I think of when I think of Rubio. Oh, and Carly Fiorina.
Yeah, not going to talk to Putin.
I'm not even going to talk to Putin.
I'm going to move military in.
Yeah. Mwah.
He might.
I'm sorry. Now, somebody, no, I know a friend of mine said, you're too glib. Okay, you know, I'm going to go back to the survey in just a minute. Then we're going to get to the debate. I haven't got to the debate yet, but I got to say this because I brought it up. You know, the first time I heard Carly Fiorina in the first debate, I'm listening. You know, well, I listen to people. I don't hear what they say. I didn't know anything about her. And she sounded pretty good here and there.
Sounded conservative.
Yeah, just like a lot of these others. They can sound good. But then, you know, you have to do the research, and I'd usually do that much closer to the election, though now that I'm on the radio, I got to do a little bit right now. And, you know, Carly, bless her heart, she is brutal, man. You talk about a warmonger. And the insolence and the what did Rand Paul? Wasn't just one Rand? It even Trump. I mean, talking about her being naive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no president in the history of our nation has just said, you know, we're not going to talk to, you know, some leader. You know, Gorbachev or but Reagan. Even during the Cold War, we talked to these guys. You know, and then we'll talk. You know, she wants to talk about Reagan walking out at Reykjavik. You know, part of the problem there, Reagan got in a room by himself with Gorbachev, and Reagan's advisors were afraid he was going to make a deal.
Mm.
And they were afraid of all that because most of his advisors were a lot more hawkish than Reagan. They were scared of Reagan, you know, doing something that was going to, you know, bring about peace in a sense. Not that they want war, but they were afraid he's going to give away the farm. I don't know. So they put a stop to that. But later we got I don't even know the details. We got an arms deal with Russia not too long after that. Or at least when I say arms deal, that doesn't make sense. A reduction in nuclear weapons. That's what I should say. See, I'm a preacher. I'm not a politician or a, you know, congressman. So I use terms like arms deal. That's a catch-all. Yep, that Obamacare, got an arms deal. That's supposed to be funny.
Okay.
Obviously not. It's kind of an arms deal, putting a gun to our head and saying, if you don't buy my health care, you know, I'm going to put you in jail.
Yeah.
You say, wait a minute, he's not going to put you in jail, he's going to fine you. Well, what happens if you don't pay the fine? Huh? Jail?
I don't know. I think that's what happens.
Yeah.
To
so he's putting a gun to my head. Taxes. See, this is what I mean by being honest and biblical. Again, see, people think government's going to take care of us. People think government's good. We can do the right thing and government solutions. And that's why I'm so glib about most of these, if not all of the Republican candidates. Obviously, I like the Republicans better than the Democrats. But now that my eyes have been opened by King Jesus and his word, see, we think the government is the answer, but government steals. The government oppresses. The government is out for itself. And you know what else? The government is very jealous of God.
That is
the government true. Wants to be number one. The government wants to be your first love. I mean, they want complete loyalty, complete allegiance. Why do you think we have the Pledge of Allegiance? Why do you think we sing the national anthem at every sporting event? You know, it started because we were at a time of war. I guess it was World War II, maybe at baseball games. And now, of course, boy, they saw the power. And people just, they have this blind devotion to the government. And it's not just Americans. It's people all over. They have the same kind of blind devotion to their governments, relatively speaking, until something happens like Hitler. Oh, by the way, Jeb Bush. See, we're off track now. We're not talking about the debate. Did you hear what Jeb Bush said in the paper? I read it in the paper. He didn't say it in the paper. He was quoted. They asked him about Hitler. If he had a time machine or something, he'd go back. Would you kill baby Hitler? You know what he said? I can't even say what he said on the air, but I'll say it this way. Well, even that brings up. But he said, yeah, I'd go back and kill baby Hitler. Trap. Oh, you believe in abortion?
That's right.
Well, no.
Yep.
See, well, I guess you do. Just depends on the circumstances.
Yep.
See, this is my problem. This is my problem. Jeb. I was talking with a friend of mine the other day. He wanted to know what is Jeb short for something? I don't know. Jeopardize the company? I don't know.
Oh, my.
The country? I blew my line. But
yeah,
anyway, you get what
I'm
saying.
I got what you're saying.
He's
yes.
jeopardizing my life. I don't know what it's short for. Go back and kill Hitler. Hey, let's go back and kill Stalin. You know, in the baby carriage. Just put a knife in him. Let's kill Mao Zedong. You know, all these bad guys. Let's just kill them. You know, when they're babies.
Mm.
How about having a principle? How about not falling into a trap? How about not being ignorant? You know?
That would be nice.
Yeah. It's like some of these gotcha questions. Though they had one, and again, I don't mind the gotcha questions. It makes things interesting. This debate, in one sense, is not as interesting as the last debate. And I didn't like the moderators in the last debate. I thought they were smug and rude and ugly and all that, but it did make it interesting. Do you know what I'm saying?
I do.
Not that this one wasn't interesting. I don't know if this broadcast is interesting other than folk. What is this guy talking about? I'm trying to give some biblical stuff in the midst of my rants. Okay, Trump, according to Drudge, we're still on the Drudge poll. Trump, 35% of the Drudge readers, you know, 350,000 votes. 35 said he won. 24% said Cruz won. 16% said Rand Paul. Rubio wasn't that far behind. 14% said Rubio mm-hmm. won. You know, he's the one that the media likes now, and it's because he's obviously going to be the establishment candidate, and they'd rather have a Rubio. I'm talking about the media, the Democrats. They'd rather have a Rubio in there than a Ted Cruz or a Donald Trump or a Rand Paul.
That's true.
Yeah. Anyway, they might rather have a Trump. They might rather have Trump as the nominee because they might see him as kind of, you know, so outlandish that he wouldn't be difficult to beat. I don't know. I haven't analyzed all that, but
yeah, they're probably hoping.
I think they
can come out with his records.
Yeah, maybe so. But you know, he's weathered so many storms, and again, he's fading a little bit. So mm-hmm. I don't know if he'll fade. I mean, I predicted way back when that he would. Now I'm not so sure.
I don't know. Listening to people call in and radio shows and talk about him.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's going to fade.
Well, that's the thing. People like him, and this is my point. If he survives all the way to the nomination, I don't think he can be touched. I just don't.
Mm.
We'll talk more about that. But obviously, it's going to come down for the Republicans. It's going to come down between, at least at this point, Trump, Cruz, Rubio, and I guess Carson. But he's fading a little bit, too. We'll talk about his debate performance. I mean, we're going to have to talk about all of them in part two, the second show. Yay!
I won't be here for that one, I don't think.
No, you will. We're going to do right now. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, speaking of Carson, he was fifth behind Rubio. Now, fifth play, but he only had 5%.
Really?
5% thought he won. That's way down.
That is way down.
He like fell off the cliff.
Mm-hmm.
What's that question that, was it Cruz got? They asked him about Social Security, you're going to cut you're going to raise the age and cut what do you call it? The benefits over time. It's like pushing somebody did an ad a long time back when they tried to get some Social Security reform passed. It's like pushing a granny over the cliff. He said, well, my mother's here tonight, so I don't want to talk about pushing grannies over the cliff. Of course, he wouldn't cut the benefits that the older folk who are on it now. He wouldn't cut their benefits. This is the thing. They try to, twist
everybody
up what
wants
they
to
say.
React so emotionally to everything. We've got to have a conversation.
I know. We do.
Because we can't go on like it is.
That's right. Fiorina. She's fallen 4%.
Yes.
She just... Oh, I'm not into analysis yet. I got to hold my tongue because I can tell we're out of time, and we're going to do all the analysis on the second show.
Okay.
All right, she got 4%. Kasich, 2%. I would have thought that Kasich would have come in last place just because he's so annoying. You know what? Fiorina's annoying, too. She was so rude.
Yeah, that's...
She kept going on and on and on past the bell. And she does it all the time. She was worse this time. And it's because she has to finish making her point, and her points are all memorized.
That's what it seems like.
Well, they are.
All of a sudden.
They asked her a question she hadn't thought about. She didn't have an answer.
Yeah.
They asked her about why does it seem like more jobs are created under Democratic presidents than Republican presidents. She just ignored the question and went into some canned speech about, I guess she started talking about some lady who was, I don't even remember the story. These stories. Oh, I met so-and-so the other day. She has 17 children, and, 8 of them are poor. I'm just kidding.
Okay.
She's worried she's not going to be able to feed him tonight. In America? You're not going to be able to feed your kids tonight? Now, I know that sounds harsh.
It does, and there are some.
And there are people that are hurting, but give me a break. This is America. Hey, Bush got last place, 1%.
Yeah.
But he's going to reset. Hey, we'll reset next time. Join us.
You've been listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. To access archived broadcasts, go to trueworldview.net, where you'll find other helpful resources as well. Join us each week at 11:30 on Friday and Saturday, and noon on Sunday for The Dean's List.
And the gospel.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or iHeartMedia.